For the last few weeks, friends, I've shared with you of how Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and the place erupted with people yelling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I shared how Jesus was then arrested, beaten, and crucified, how he was buried and rose on the third day, and how he appeared to some woman, later to two men walking on the road to Emmaus, then to the disciples and Thomas, and then to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee and Peter. Isn't that wonderful, friends? And just before he is returned to his place at the right hand of the Father, Jesus commissioned his disciples and his church with the words from our text. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." These words we call, friends, the Great Commission. He told them that they and every believer thereafter should passionately engage in. Now, I told you this story in September last year about this truck driver who was hauling, is that how you say, hauling a load of 500 penguins to the zoo. Some of you remember it. Unfortunately, his truck broke down. And eventually he waved down another truck and he offered the driver $500 to take the penguins to the zoo. And later that day, the first truck driver got his truck fixed. And as he drove in town, he couldn't believe his eyes. Just ahead of him, he saw the second truck driver crossing the street with 500 penguins, waddling single file behind him. He jumped out of his truck, he ran to the driver and he said, "What's going on? I gave you $500 to take the penguins to the zoo." And the man responded, "I did take them to the zoo, but I had enough money left over. Now we are going to the movies." That's just a joke. You see, friends, the fellow here didn't fully understand his assignment. He didn't understand the command he had received. And likewise, many people today, many disciples of Jesus Christ, are vague or unclear about the command Jesus gave to the disciples. The word commission is defined in the Webster's Dictionary as the authority to act for, the authority to act on behalf of, and to act in place of another. All authority was given to Jesus in heaven and earth, and then based on that authority, Jesus then commissions all of us, all of his followers, to make disciples of all nations. And Jesus commissioned us to be his ambassadors, to be his spokespeople. Jesus sends us out to be his feet, to go wherever he sends us, to take the gospel to those who don't know him yet. Jesus sends us out to be his hands, that we selflessly serve others and show them his love and mercy and compassion. He sends us to be his mouth, to proclaim the truth of the gospel, bringing the good news to everyone. Amen?
Amen.
This is the mission of the church, given to us by our Lord. And that is to go into the world and make disciples of others. A disciple is someone who studies rigorously, or who studies attentively under the authority of a teacher or rabbi, who follows the Lord diligently and who serves the Lord passionately. This is a disciple, friends. And Jesus did not issue a decree to make disciples soft in their commitment and occasional in their obedience. No, he called us to share the gospel with others. Here are 10 qualities of a disciple of Jesus. They have a passionate commitment to Jesus Christ. They have an extraordinary love for people. They have a heart of a servant. They are sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. They are governed by the authority of God's word. They live morally pure. They are evangelistic bold. They are engaged in a biblical community. They are just and generous, and they live their lives with purpose and on mission. This is the quality of a disciple. And as you're listening to this and you're looking at these 10 and you're saying, yeah, that's me, that man. That's me. I know that you are disciples of Jesus Christ. But are you making disciples? Paul said it so nicely. In Romans 10 verse 14 and 15. How then can they hear on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. These verses show us, friends, the necessity of proclaiming the gospel worldwide. I was sitting around the table and Hill and I were chatting, and I said, you know, Hill, this is so true that we have to share the gospel in the whole world. Do you know we counted that there are 8 nationalities in this little building?
Amen.
Hey? So the gospel went out. And I'm not talking about somebody who's a third or fourth generation. I am talking about people who were born. There are Canadians here. There are South Africans here.
Amen.
British. Yes. Filipinos,
yes.
Nigerians,
yes.
Indians, Dutch, Koreans,
yes.
Right here.
Amen.
Do you see how important it is, friends?
Yes.
We've got to have that mindset. We've got to have that passion to reach out to people, because God loves people of all nations. Amen?
Amen.
We used to have Americans. And they moved away. We missed them.
They were sent out.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Are we making disciples of all nations? Before Jesus had directed the disciples to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you remember Matthew 10, 5 and 6? It's not on the screen. That's what Jesus said. I want you to leave the Gentiles. I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Read that verse. But now, friends, now, the mission was to go global.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To go global from our community, county, country, and continent. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Revelations. No, it's not. Sorry, it's not on the screen. Revelation, I thought afterwards I should have put it on, but listen to this lovely verse. Revelation 5, verse 9, John said, and with your blood, You purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Isn't that a lovely verse? Men, women, and children are to be urged, friends. They got to be urged to come to Jesus and ask Him to come into their lives to be their Savior and Lord. People cannot believe unless they hear about Jesus. People cannot hear unless someone takes the good news to them. All believers in Jesus have been commissioned to fulfill their part in reaching out to the lost in their hometown and around the world. Do you know that Psalm 67 is called the mission song? Song. This is what it says in verse 1 and 2. Let's put it on the screen. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. Say that! Now let me tell you what that word means, because I know you always read it in the Psalms. That word means pause, reflect, ask why. I'm going to read it again now. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. Why? That Your ways may be known on the earth and Your salvation among all nations. Isn't that marvelous, friends? This song is a prayer for God's blessing and His salvation to include all nations. The psalmist, you notice, he's not saying, bless me so that I can be more comfortable. Notice he's not saying, bless me so I don't have to work as hard to make a living. He's not saying, bless me so that others can admire me and envy me. He's not saying, bless me so that I can be successful in the eyes of the world. He's not even saying, bless me that I can bless others. By all means, God blesses us and gifts us so that we may serve and bless others. But still, the fundamental reason, friends, the fundamental reason for God's blessing is that we make His ways and salvation known to all nations. There's it. That's His word. We sang a song so lovely, I heard you were swelling it out. Let Your glory fall in this place. And what does the next line say? Let it go forth from here to the nations. Got it. There's it. We believe the words we sing. Let Your glory fall in this room. And let it go forth from here to the nations. We have a mission to the world, friends. To those who don't believe yet. Listen to John 20:21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As My Father has sent Me, I also send you. What are we sent to do, you say? Well, Paul was very specific in Acts 20, verse 24. Paul says, but My life is worth nothing to Me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned Me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. There you have it, friends. Do you have it now? You say, what am I sent to do? Yes, it's yet. That you finish the work assigned to you by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of the Lord God. Friends, our purpose is to share the good news. Now, I don't say, you have to come and preach now. Let's see how you're going to do it. No. We have to share the good news with other people. The Lord says, once I know the good news that God loves me, that Jesus redeemed me, that Jesus gave his life that I may have life, that his blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness, that I've been reconciled to God, and that as a child of God, God has a plan and purpose for my life. Now, I am to pass it on to others. You say, Keith, I don't know how to preach. Nowhere did I say preach. Once I know the good news that God loves me, I can pass that on. Isn't that true, friends? Once I know he redeemed me, once I know that he gave his life that I may have life, once I know that his blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness, once I know that I'm reconciled with the Father, once I know that as a child of God, God has a plan and purpose for my life, now I can share it with others. Now, where am I supposed to share it, Keith? Jesus gets more specific in Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Don't try and wing it. Once the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Friends, a person who is not serving God can't be a missionary. Can't be on the mission field. Because what are they going to say? But once you have received the Lord into your life, he's your Savior, he's your God, and the power of the Holy Spirit is anointing you, resting upon you, man, you can be a spokesperson for the Lord. And yeah, the Bible says you will be a witness. So how, let me start now preaching. How do I complete this mission? Firstly, friends, I must share with those in my world. When Jesus said this sentence, they were in Jerusalem. So he's looking around. Start here. He didn't say, hey guys, let's head to the harbor. Let's take a ship to Timbuktu. No. He's saying, start here. This is Jerusalem. This is where we are. I've got to share with the people in my world. And you know what, friends? I tell you something. Ellen and I are heading to complete our 25th year here in Smoky Lake. 90% of all funerals, 90% of all weddings, all the outreach in the schools, all the outreach in the old age homes. Man, we have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we start right here. Start with people closest to us, right there in our own town, in our own community. Provide a creative and innovative presentation of God's love in a relevant way. You know, every time the ladies open the free store, that is reaching out, friends. Every time we have a spring celebration, or we have a men's breakfast, or we have a this or that, man, we are reaching out to the people right here in Jerusalem. And friends, you don't have to knock them over the head with the Bible and tell them, turn or burn. Or get saved or get microwaved. No, we just come up with creative ways to be a friend, eh? To be a witness. When we have Alpha and people come there, we are being a witness, eh? To all that God has done in your life, in my life. Help your friends out when they need, listen to them. Take them out for a coffee, invite them to church. Tell them what an awesome time you have on a Sunday morning. Tell them about your lovely pastor and his great hairstyle. Amen. No, I'm just kidding with that part now. And so on. Be creative to share the love of God, to talk about God's love for each person. That's the starting point. There was a man who Jesus healed from demon possession. And this fellow wanted to travel with Jesus. He said, I'm going to come with you now. We're going to move. We're going to minister. And Jesus said, no, I don't want you to do that. Let's look what Jesus said in Luke 8, verse 39. Jesus said to this, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. Yes. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city the great things Jesus had done for him. In other words, be a witness right in Jerusalem, right where you are. Jesus says the same thing to us. Our mission starts right in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our community. Somebody visited us last night and Ellen spent a lot of time telling him about the Lord Jesus. I wonder if he walked home and said, man, I didn't think that's going to happen. Be a witness. Friends, we are to do so in our homes and our neighborhood and our community. And the one reason why we don't do this is because perhaps we believe the myth that people aren't interested in spiritual issues. But let me say quickly, in the same breath, that's not true. Surveys show that people are more interested in spiritual things now than they were 10 years ago. A survey was done in the States, USA. It discovered that 65 million people have no church home. That same survey discovered that 34 million of them said that they would attend if someone would just invite them. 65 million said, we don't have a church. 34 million said, we're dying to belong there if somebody will invite us. Now, did someone preach to that person? No. There's a ministry. Invite. Invite. 34 million are just waiting for an invitation. Friends, opportunity to share the gospel are all around us. Opportunities are staring us in the face every day. You just have to be ready for them. God wants to use you, and there are thousands of ways that you can be a witness by simply saying, this is what God did for me. Do you see that, friends?
Yes.
This is what God did in my life. But why? 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see why God wants you to go out, friends, make disciples? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God is not willing that anybody should perish. As long as there is one person on earth who doesn't know the good news, God is saying, I want you to keep reaching out. We have the best news in the world.
Yes.
And we have to share it. We need to reach one more. And it starts in our own home, in our Jerusalem. And secondly, we must dare to reach beyond our world. Jesus said, then I want you to go to Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that's like going from to the next county, to the next country, and then to the ends of the earth. You know, the Samaritans were different culturally and racially. They were different. And so Jesus is saying, now you've done Jerusalem. Yeah, in Jerusalem, go to Judea and Samaria. Friends, everyone needs to hear the good news. Jesus doesn't say, you know what, guys? I need you to be my defense attorney. I need you to be my prosecutor. I need you to be my sales people. All God says, I want you to be is a witness. Right? A witness. What is a witness? A witness is someone who just tells others what they see. Especially in his or her own life. I told you I went to the University of Calgary to minister on the campus. And there was a student. And a student was telling me about the crystal ball that floats all over the place. And this is powerful and this new age stuff. And then I said, oh, wow, that sounds interesting. But let me tell you about what the Lord Jesus did for me. And as I shared my testimony, tears started to stream down because that meant more than some crystal ball that we don't see. This is what the Lord Jesus has done for me. Now, I don't know all the answers to your questions. You may ask me a question, I don't know the answer. But let me tell you what I do know. This is what happened to me. This is what Jesus did to me. For me. Anyway, friends. Jesus is saying, I just want you to tell other people what I have done for you through, God is saying, through my son Jesus. Tell those closest to you, those near to you, and then those different to you, and then to everyone else. Why? Because God is building a family, friends, from every nation of people who love and trust him, that are going to spend eternity with him. One day, all believers are going to be gathered together in heaven. Amen. Amen. Amen? It's going to happen. And the amazing thing, friends, is that God has chosen us. What a privilege to complete the mission. This is a mission that Jesus started when he came to earth. And God says, I want my people to finish it. Love demands that I move beyond my comfort zone to people with different cultures, different backgrounds, different languages, and different economies. And Dwight, we ministered in a very, very poor place. So much so when we were walking away, he said, Dwight, please don't allow me to complain when I get back to Canada. Our mission has eternal consequences, heaven or hell. So we must be willing to risk everything to get the message out there, friends. Do you know approximately 5.3 billion people in this world are not Christians? Listen, 5.3 billion people are not Christians who face the lost eternity due to a terrible disease called sin. The good news is that while everyone is affected by this disease, wait now, a cure is known. A cure is available to all who will believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. If I had the cure for cancer, friends, let me tell you something. If I had it, I wouldn't be here now. I'll be standing outside the Stollery Children's Hospital. I will be talking to surgeons. I will be in the hospital calling a meeting. This is how we're going to do it, friend. This is the cure. But listen, listen, friend, wait now. I've got something more important. I've got something more important. I've got a way to eternal life. I've got the good news of God's grace. We have the cure. Somebody cared enough to tell me. I remember my friend when I was in 1971, he was telling me about Jesus, and I thought I was already a goody two shoes. I thought, man, I don't carry on, I don't mess around, and I'm already okay. And he told me about the good news of Jesus Christ and his grace, mercy. And I received the Lord when I was a teenager. Somebody cared enough to tell me. I got to be caring enough to tell others. Amen. I've said this before, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Do you think if I go around and flash my degree? See? This is my degree from the theological seminary. That's not going to matter. But if I go there and I care about people, I love it. I love them. I want them to hear good news. This is what's going to make a difference, friends.
That's right.
Christians are called to be bridges, not walls. God expects us to make the first move. In fact, over and over again, God says it in one word, geo, go. I've said this before too. I love this. This is my favorite topic. I want you to go, God says. You can't spell God without G-O.
That's right.
You can't spell good news without G-O. You can't spell gospel without G-O. We have to go. You know, I like how the Greeks use the word for go. The Greeks' interpretation of the word go is this. As you are going. Do you see that? It's not just go. It's as you are going. In other words, this is not a one-time program. This is a lifestyle.
Yes.
This is a lifestyle. As you are going. Do you know, friends, about Coca-Cola? Do you know that Coca-Cola has been in existence for 132 years? I just Googled it today. 132 years. Did you know that the Coke products are marketed and sold in over 200 countries around the world? But what floored me, friends, is that 94% of the world's population has heard about Coca-Cola. 94% of the world's population, and there's just over 7 billion, I think, now. Most people in the world have heard of it. They can recognize the red and white logo, regardless of what language it is. That 90%, 94% of the world's population have access to a can of Coke. But they don't have access to the Bible or to a believer who is willing to share their faith with them. Isn't that sad? Those statistics are startling. But keep in mind that for Coke, all it takes is a lot of money and good marketing. However, making disciples of all nations takes a personal sacrifice and commitment. Jesus never promised a life of comfort and prosperity for his followers in this life. We have to get up and go and tell, friends. If you get involved in your mission in the world, it's going to cost you. It will cost you your time, your energy, your effort, your money, and even your privacy at times. But God has promised eternal rewards. God says, whatever you do for me is not in vain. This is going to take you to a new level of spiritual maturity. And let's look at Mark 16 verse 15. Jesus says to his followers, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Isn't that a lovely verse, friends? Was Jesus talking to pastors and missionaries here? No, he was talking to ordinary available followers. If you are a Christian, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If this is true, then if we're not fishing, we're not following. People all around the world are hungry for the good news, friends. A couple of years ago, I told you this story a few months ago also, or maybe a few before. No, 2001, I think. 2021. Doesn't matter. A couple of years ago, Rick Warren, one of my favorite speakers, he was in Beijing, China. And he was invited to come and dialogue with the professors at the Peking University, along with 50,000 students. Every communist leader in China was educated at Peking University. And after it was over, Rick Warren went for lunch with Professor Zhou, the second in command of the whole university. He had been a professor there for 50 years in mathematics, economics, and engineering. And through the course of lunch, Rick discovered that Professor Zhou was dying of a brain tumor. At that time, Rick Warren's father was also dying of cancer. So he said, Professor Zhou, my dad is dying of cancer, but he's not afraid to die because he has made his peace with God. He knows where he's going to when he dies. And then he began to tell Professor Zhou a story. He said, there was a man who took his son and three of his son's best friends to the carnival. He bought a roll of tickets, and at each ride he would stop, hand a ticket to his son and one ticket to the son's three friends. They would ride and then go to another ride, and again he would hand a ticket to his son and his son's three friends. And he did this over and over again. But you know what, friends? When he came to the fifth ride, he looked down and there was a fourth hand out like this to get a ticket. He looked down at the child and said, "Who are you?" And the little fellow said, "I'm your son's new best friend. Your son said that if I am his friend, his father will give me a free ticket." The son said, the dad said, do you think I gave him a ticket? You bet I did. I gave him a ticket. Then Rick Warren asked Professor Joe. He said, "Professor, your heavenly father, God, has a ticket for you to heaven." It's a free ticket. You can't earn it or buy it. You will never deserve it. It's free. The only way you will get one is by being a friend of his son, Jesus Christ. And as he looked over at this man who had been the lead teacher at a famous institution in China for 50 years, Professor Zhou said with trembling lips and tears coming down his cheeks, "I would like one of those tickets." And when they had finished eating, they held hands, and Professor Zhou invited Jesus Christ into his life. Everyone needs Jesus. Some may be pretend and be tough, huh? Some may put up barriers, but in their hearts, they know that they are empty without God. Therefore, we have been commissioned, friends, and we have a mission to tell the world the good news of Jesus Christ. Fulfilling your mission is the secret to a fulfilled life. Friends, let the Holy Spirit put in your heart the will of God, found in the psalm we read earlier, Psalm 67, verse 2, that your way, God's way, may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Before someone can call upon the name of the Lord, there must be faith. Before faith, there must be hearing. Before hearing, there must be telling. And before telling, there must be someone committed to, surrendered to God's great commission. A Baptist pastor, Edward Pruden, once reminded his congregation that every church is a product of someone's missionary activity. Every church is a monument of a missionary impulse. Every church should be reminded that it has been set down in the midst of a mission field. Every church should be reminded that it has fallen heir to the great commission which Christ gave to his disciples. For 24 years, just over 24 years, I put up a sign when I came here in 1999 above the door. Have you read it?
No.
Some say, "Sign? What sign?" No. It says what? You are entering the mission field. You are entering the mission field. As you take a step outside, you're in the mission field. You're in Jerusalem. And then we go into Judea and Samaria and to the utmost ends of the earth. Friends, I've asked this question before. Is anyone going to be in heaven because of you? When you get to heaven, will somebody come up to you and say, "Thank you. Thank you for telling me the good news. You knew it, And you didn't keep it a secret. You told me about it. This year, over 54 million people in the world will die. This year, over 54 million people in the world will die. Many will go into eternity without Jesus Christ. That's too many, friends. If we care, we must share. The most dangerous prayer you can say, God, use me. I dare you to say it. Do you have enough courage to say, God, use my life? If you do, watch what happens. Little becomes much when we place it in the Master's hand. Yes. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You have spoken to all of us here today, Lord. You have spoken to all of us here today, Lord. There's not one that is exempt or immune. All of us here, Lord, you have spoken to our hearts. And I pray that you will help us, that you will give us the boldness, the courage to tell other people of your love and grace. Help us, Lord. We want to see many more come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.